Welcome back to Frank on Target, your haven from the commercial break jungle. We know those ads can be quite the adventure, but now it's time to return to our own wilderness of politics, controversy, and the great outdoors.
And that's exactly how the public is treated. All right. They're treated what they believe to be kindly until they get the opportunity to get euthanized. And
because that kindness manipulates them, it lulls them into complacency and it makes them easily manipulated.
And you know what? That needle of euthanization, we called the COVID vaccine.
But it's not just the COVID vaccine; it's any of the
It's all kinds of things. It's all kinds of things. I tell you this story all the time that I went. In grad school, I met a guy who was an immunologist, and he had decided he had enough. He worked for a major pharmaceutical company, and he had enough, and he wanted to go into teaching. All right, so we were in grad school together, and I was telling him about the vaccines that the company I was working for was developing, and how progressive they were, and how far down, how technologically they could address 13 different valents of pneumococcal pneumonia. And he was telling me, not good. He said it just destroys the immune system. It scrambles the immune system. Now, we know one thing. The rise of autism has exponentially increased over the past 30 years. And the amount of vaccines that we are required children to be given has increased exponentially. So now
we're talking about in 1989, 1 in 10,000, and in 2025, 1 in 34. No kidding. And 89 is the year when it was the golden cow. It was, you have no liability for this product, and pediatricians, you know, there's complicity with the American Medical Association, but they're going to mandate. It's going to be mandated. You don't even have to advertise. You don't even have to convince the parents to put this poison in their kids. It's mandated, and the pediatrician is going to tell you, because the pediatrician effectively gets a kickback for having a certain percentage of his patient population vaccinated. And immediately there's a rise in all kinds of autoimmune disorders, including autism or, you know, other kinds of processing disorders and all kinds of health issues. In fact, sudden infant death syndrome is probably not anything more than a severe reaction to being vaccinated. Isn't that fun to think about parents that have tortured themselves over losing a child that way? Anyway, so, we need to do more live, we need to get back on X and do a live stream on X and get people involved in this. And getting back to drones, I'm not saying that war was ever moral, but when you take, I hate to say this, but when you take human pain and suffering out of war and you give a machine the capacity to kill, it is evil on a scale that humanity has never experienced. It's that pain and suffering and the humanity.
If we take the human element out of it, if we take the human element out of it, is it more humane?
No, but it's more evil. So you have a population of people that just don't have, what is your chip called, an RF chip? And so the drone is just sent out with it's a machine. It has no feeling about taking life at all and just destroys life.
Well, the truth of the matter, we just eliminated.
The WEF right now is meeting in Davos to say, let's increase the production of drones and get Elaine and Frank to shut up. No, they're not. But anyway, we as human beings need to recognize a common enemy and act in our best interest to oppose this. There we go. There's an idea. Let's sell that.
Yeah, well, we're little voices screaming in the wind here.
No, but that's how anything ever began in all of human history. Little voices screaming in the wind. That's all it is. It was a little voice that said, let's do it to start with. There has to be a little voice saying, nope, it was a bad idea. Let's stop it.
Wow, so we dragged John down the rabbit hole with us. John, tell us.
No, but I want to go on record as saying this wasn't my idea, folks.
Yeah, right. that'll protect you. That'll protect you when they sick the drone on you. Don't go outside your house, so the drone will find you. Really? I mean, serious.
No, serious. It found that woman. Wait. But the surveillance video, I mean, do you ever think about, you know, like, I don't take my phone with me wherever I go, in part because I don't know what my phone is recording and what it's not recording. And I like a sense of privacy. I don't want my phone tracking what I do. And I've turned off every kind of, I don't think it works, but for my own, you know, pretend peace of mind, I've turned off every tracking device or monitoring device. I don't want my phone recording my steps and my, what do they call that, health monitoring or whatever. I don't want it doing any of those things. But I'm sure it does whether I want it to or not. But I like to, you know, leaving the phone at home is a great idea. I think we need to. What?
You know, NSL groups, they sell a product called Pegasus, and it's designed, it's bought by government. This is not a conspiracy in the sense that it's unknown. This is well documented. It's bought by governments around the world to hack people's iPhones so that even if they change the settings, which I think is a good thing to do, because chances are, if you're not a reporter or something like that, you don't have Pegasus on your phone. But even if your settings do say the microphone is off, it actually is still listening, and you would have no way of knowing. The only way to make sure our iPhones are not really listening is if they sold the iPhones with a little hardware switch that cut off the electrical current to the microphone. But they don't sell those iPhones.
Hey, John, I got a question for you. If I take my phone, shut it off, and put it in a Faraday bag, is it safe?
It might not be transmitting signal out, but it could still. But I don't know if Pegasus will still have access to your microphone if your phone is off. It might. Some sensors are still on, even when your phone is off. What the Faraday bag will do is it'll prevent signal from transmitting out. And let me double check that, but I'm pretty sure that's the case.
I mean, it might not be a bad idea to, you know, listen, if you want your privacy, put your phone in the Faraday bag when you're not using it. You know, use it when you...
Transmit it once you're done.
Say that again?
It'll transmit it all. It'll update the phone once you take it out of the Faraday bag. Doesn't Eric Prince, didn't James O'Keefe talk about a phone that you could buy through Eric Prince?
Eric Prince has a phone, is marketing a phone that is supposed to be very secure. Now,
it has a kill switch. You press the switch and there's no voltage going through anything on the phone.
Is that how he does it?
Unlike the iPhone. Yeah, but it doesn't have a switch just for the microphone. What I would like is a little switch only for the microphone so that if someone's calling me, I'll still see they're calling, and then I can just flip the switch and my microphone will have current going to it again.
Now, that Eric Prince phone, I mean, I've heard him advertise it, and I got to tell you something. I am really, really amazed that he doesn't have a place in the cabinet, okay? Unless... Maybe
his sister did. His sister was the director, you know, the head of the Department of Education the last time around, and maybe Trump has had enough of him. I don't know.
He's incredibly, incredibly astute. You know, he makes war.
He's a good businessman. Yeah, he's a good businessman.
So tell me something. Tell me something cute. Tell me something.
No, no, we don't need
cute. I can tell you something happy.
Go, tell me something happy.
Trump pardoned those poor J6 people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Do you know how liberating that is, personally? That is very liberating because I was at J6. And for the past 5 years or 4 years, I have never ever talked about it.
I didn't know until this morning on the radio show. I did not know. Frank and I have talked about it. About a month ago, he mentioned that Lady Liberty was there, but he has never. Because I have other friends here in Polk County that were at the rally. In fact, I just sent you, Frank, that Wall Street Journal article, and then how I revised it.
Yeah, unfortunately, it was on my phone. I got to get it off my phone, and because it's way too small to read.
Yeah, okay, whatever. It's, you know, it's whatever it is. We need to switch from being glad that they were pardoned to celebrating these American patriots who were simply exercising their constitutional right to free speech, to assemble, and to address their government with the grievances they had about the conduct of their government, in this instance, a stolen election. And they're not insurrectionists. The Wall Street Journal article is about Rebecca Lavrence, who was the praying grandma. And they talk about these people at J6 being insurrectionists. Not one person. There have been 1,567 people charged. Not one has been charged with insurrection. They are not insurrectionists. They were they're charged with enhanced trespassing. And although I think there are three, three that were charged with maybe a little bit, some kind of assault or something. But nobody has been charged with insurrection. Intense. Incredible. And it's ongoing now. And you have Senator Cory Booker last night was repeating this lie, and Senator Elizabeth Warren repeating the lie that officers were murdered at that rally on January 6th. No, they weren't. The only one murdered on January 6th was Ashley Babbitt. She was murdered by Lieutenant Michael Beard. And these other guys, Howard Liebengood, Jeffrey Smith, Kyle the Freitag, and Gunther Hashida, committed suicide. They weren't murdered. They committed suicide.
Well, that's because probably because they were too moral to accept what they had done.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? But so you have politicians still lying. You have Wall Street Journal writers still being paid to lie. And I really think that we ought to start holding these people accountable for this lie. And we also need to shift the perception. It's not that we pardoned them. We should be celebrating their patriotism for exercising their constitutional rights. And what Frank and I were talking about this morning was that these January 6th, it was sort of that moment that our country rose again from the ashes of the tyranny imposed by holdovers from Obama's Department of Justice and by members of Biden's Department of Justice, and the tyranny they had inflicted and were about to continue to inflict. Our motivation to go forward that galvanized MAGA started with how the J6ers were treated. And we were committed before, but I think we were more committed afterwards. It should be recognized as sort of the rebirth, like a phoenix rising from the ashes, the rebirth of our American patriotism bonded with our love of Almighty God. And I'm a big fan of our love of Almighty God. So anyway,
to go back to what Frank said. But I just want to go back to what Frank said. He said people are comfortable with the AI and the surveillance because it hasn't attacked them yet, just like he hasn't attacked his dog. So it's an abstract threat. For the January 6ers, the threat of AI is no longer abstract. They use facial recognition, GPS tracking, and other technology to find every single one of them. For them, it's real, and we should learn from that.
Yes.
That should be a canary in the coal mine for us. And to go back to politicians lying. With Elaine, you talked about politicians lying. Don't forget what they did to Officer Sicknick. They put his body in the recliner on February 2nd. This is for your audience, if any of their MSNBC friends or family members try to argue with them. They put Officer Sicknick's body in the rotunda on February 2nd, honoring it. Mitch McConnell, who was the Senate Majority Leader at the time, and Nancy Pelosi, who was the Speaker of the House at the time, a Republican and a Democrat, both gave speeches on February 2nd talking about how Officer Sicknick was a sacrifice for them and that his death was protecting them along those lines, at the same time that the media was saying he was killed by a fire hydrant or by a blunt force object to the head. There's a real problem
total
with
lie.
That narrative. Total
it's
lie.
Total
that,
lie.
Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi knew it. They knew it because they received the autopsy report on January 10th, and they still lied with a straight face in front of all those people. So I have a message for your audience. You trust our government? People that behave like that with this much power?
No, we do not.
And then was the autopsy report released. The autopsy report was released on April 19th, the day before the verdict of Derek Chauvin on April 20th. So they knew that the autopsy report wasn't going to make a news cycle. It was so scheming, so disgusting.
You know, we did a live stream with Rebecca Lavrence and with Chauvin's attorney was David Pierce, John Pierce, and Roger Roots, and they joined us because they also represented Rebecca. But you know, that was one of the only times in history that a private citizen has laid in was allowed to lie in state in our nation's capital for the world to see this incredible farce of our government, with Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi. And think about this. Those disgusting liars that push the narrative about the insurrection narrative are such criminals, they have to be pardoned as one of the last acts of Diaper Joe as he slinks away from office. So they can't even be held accountable for their lies, because they know an objective review of their conduct would send them to prison. You know, so
they knew he died of a heart attack and that he had hypertension sickness.
Yes, yes. And had nothing to do with it. He wasn't bludgeoned by a fire extinguisher. That was a total lie. And Chauvin was actually led around inside the building. He was very polite. He was joking with some of the Capitol Police. He was not a threat to anybody.
Cool.
We need to,
the shaman,
in fact, Rebecca says that there was a Capitol Police officer at the door of the building who was holding the door open for the crowd. She kind of got pushed into the building with the crowd. She didn't force her way in or batter a police officer out of the way. He was standing there holding the door open, and what she was charged with was basically enhanced trespassing. And all she did was walk in the building, look around, say a prayer, and then the crowd actually had turned around, so she turned around and walked away. And then just stood further back from the building and said a couple more prayers and basically got in her car and drove home to Colorado. And then 2 years later, they're at her door arresting her for what she did on January 6th. And she's got Yeah, but I don't think she wants to be pardoned. She's already been sentenced. I think she got...
She spent... How much did she spend on her defense? Like 125
or... No, I think that all together they had raised about $250,000. I'm not sure what they spent. The numbers vary. It might have been around $150,000, so she still has some money. But the judge asked her to forfeit the entire account of the amount, and she hasn't actually paid off the judgment. We talked to her on January 6th because she's been the house guest of people that are dear friends of mine, and she's been in this community. That's how we arranged the live stream we did with her. She came here to Polk County, but she said that as a strategy, she hasn't paid off the judgment against her because if she does, then she can't appeal from it. So she's paying off in small increments just to avoid a huge penalty, you know, the interest penalty on not paying something on it. But she wants to have grounds to appeal, and so if she's already paid that fine, her appeal is, the appellate court could say her appeal is moot because she's already served her time and paid the fine, and so they're not going to, you know, they may not grant it. I don't know if Roger Root and John Pierce are good appellate attorneys. It's a different skill set than being a trial attorney, but I know that they're handling a couple of the appeals, and I believe that they want to keep going in spite of the pardon because they care that what happened not happen again.
We're getting down. We're getting down to the last 8 or 10 minutes here. I'd like to just introduce something to you folks and see what your feelings are on this. I think we scared everybody to death with the IA, with the AI stuff, and we're going to have to talk about it at greater length. I'm sure you've all watched at least part of the inauguration yesterday. And from just hearing you talk, I know you are both rather joyous about that event. But I got to tell you, I don't know how to even describe it. It's the most prophetic thing that somebody said at the inauguration yesterday, and it was Elon Musk. He said that this, and he was referring to the result of this election, is we are at a fork in the road of human civilization. I think that's prophetic, because had this not occurred, if the human civilization had taken the less traveled road, I think we would have been in trouble. And I think he recognizes that. He seriously wants to put a flag on Mars. There's no doubt about it.
And I'd rather make sure we're not shot down by a drone before we put a flag on Mars.
I agree with you.
My own personal preference.
I agree with you. I think we got to worry about this little rock that we call Earth before we do anything else. But what Trump said was essentially, and you and I talked about this morning, Elaine, was reminiscent of the inaugural address in 1961, that we do things that are hard, not things that are easy. And that's what we're doing. We have the hard decisions to make, and it's not going to be the same America that we've had over the past 10 or 20 years. It's going to be different. It's going to be different.
But what Trump said is, in America, impossible is what we do. He also said, I'm with you, I will fight for you, and I will win for you. But I think we have to wake up as American citizens and say, we don't expect you to do for us. We need to start doing for ourselves. And that means becoming accurately informed and then acting on that information in a way that benefits us, our families, our communities, our state, and our country. And we need to recognize threats, existential threats. AI-controlled drones that are just, where we have no power over who is surveilling us. We have no control over who's surveilling us. I'm going to go back to what are my list of things here. We need decentralized AI power. We need no surveillance without consent. And we need to protect our whistleblowers. Absolutely.
Now.
And that gives us a fighting chance.
Here's a question. Here's a question to John. John, do you think there's any value to bringing my state senator on the radio here and picking his brain to what he thinks needs to be done and what direction his legislation is going to go in?
Yes.
Sure. You know Matt Lieber?
Yes. I know Matt rather well. Matt rather well, but I would like you to be the conduit. I would like, because you are involved with him in that AI realm, do you talk to him routinely?
Yeah, we were friends long before he went into politics. So we have a good relationship.
Well, that's good. Would you undo it and try and get him on this station for an hour, or even if he just called in for a half an hour, or 15, 20 minutes? Tell us what his thoughts are, what his fears are, and how his fellow legislators are reacting to this, because I got to tell you, Matt is pretty sharp, and he's I don't want to use the term progressive as much as current in what's going on, but I don't think his fellow legislators are as half as astute as he is.
If we're a red state that loves freedom, why do we have these facial recognition things in the airports? What type a freedom-loving state normalizes government facial recognition of our faces just so we can get on a plane.
And who, Elaine? You're the historian in sorts. And what was the quote about giving up a little freedom for security and you'll have neither? Who said that? Was that Jefferson? Do you know what I'm?
I completely forget. Yes. And I forget the quote either, because I'm just imagining how terrifying this is, that we have no privacy at all using that facial recognition. The other thing is this: what if the system misidentifies you? You know, we're assuming that it's horrendous, but it works flawlessly. What if it doesn't? What if you get confused with that criminal that escaped or whatever? Terrifying on just every single level. But no, I don't. I'm not the keeper of those kinds of quotes, Frank. I couldn't possibly be.
Yeah, I'm looking towards the engineering room there, and I'm sure I'm going to get a text very shortly.
Dave, yes.
Yeah,
who
said that?
Dave.
My phone dinged, and there's the answer. Hold on, just a second.
All right, let's hear it.
All right, Benjamin Franklin. He who gives up essential liberty for security has neither. All that being said, we're pushing an hour. John, I'd like to invite you back. Elaine, you don't need an invitation because you are my right arm. I would hope that...
Can I be your left lung? I'd just rather be a different body part. And then let's see if we can get some... I'm joking. It's just a joke.
And listen, if this wasn't a family station, I could really make a real good joke.
No,
but,
okay, let's stop with that. We're
but
not
anyway...
No reason. Let's get some North Carolinians involved, too, because I think that we have so much in common. You know, any challenge is a little bit easier if you've got a lot of shoulders carrying the load, and we need to start getting people involved to help carry the load, because this is so vital to everything that makes us human. And it all begins with our autonomy over our own bodies and our right of privacy. There we go.
John, your marching orders are you got to get Matt Lieber. All right?
I'll do my best. Do
your best to get Matt on. And we want to know where he's going and what his thoughts are and how important he thinks it is. That's really like an acid test, because I'm pretty sure that he's recognizes how important this is. And Elaine, you are my rock. All right, guys, we're running about an hour, and you've been listening. This is a featured interview with John Del Gazzio. Is that a correct pronunciation, John? And
close enough, don't
matter. Yeah, and Elaine Greenwood. And you're listening to WVFF 97.7 LPFM, Red Brick Patriot Radio, broadcasting from Cottageville, South Carolina. Guys, you make me feel like an intellectual amoeba. I thank you very much for your participation, everything you brought to the table. And guys, we are out of here.
We here at WVFF thank you for tuning in to Frank on Target, your source for straight talk on global politics and outdoor escapades and controversy. Until next time, stay on target with Frank. You're listening to Veterans for Freedom Radio, 97.7 FM.